Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
All right, here we go again. Yeah, you were right. It's going to be colder today, that's for sure. So it's, guys, it's an awesome thing because you won't believe it.
What's that?
What's that?
Look what the squirrel drug in.
Squirrel.
Is that Ali Domerson? The one,
what?
The only?
Not
good
what?
Morning.
Who? Who? You aren't going to do that other music?
Do you want me to do the other?
Yeah, well, that's for getting her out of that. We finally won the day.
Well, this seems like the right music.
No, but we'll go back. We got to explain the storyline.
Okay, gotcha. Oh.
It was just about a week and a half ago, we got word from Ali that COVID had encroached on her pad.
Right.
He came in, kicked up his feet on the coffee table and wouldn't leave. We took the Maranatha Hillsong Booty Kickers team over there.
We did.
And kicked their booty out. Tragedy is that COVID left behind some residual stuff. And so she had to kind of hole up in there.
Yeah.
The one delight she had is she was able to look out the window and see their COVID had been thrown to the curb. Mm-hmm. He lay there in a pile of mess.
That's right.
Bleeding about the orifices. So that was a delight.
Wow.
But the residual stayed. But over the weekend, things began to turn around. And now we are free.
Wow, wow.
Free indeed.
Welcome back, Ali.
It's good to be back. It is good.
You didn't say good. That didn't roll off your tongue.
No, it's great to be back. I'm glad to be out of quarantine and to be able to go places again. And
good for you.
It was a long little stretch. Both
Very
my kids
happy.
Got COVID, but aww. At different 9 days after the first one.
That's really convenient.
So it was a long quarantine.
That's a long haul, man.
But everybody's
but
good.
But praise God. Yeah, they're both doing fantastic.
Praise.
So I'm extremely, extremely grateful for that.
The world is sick today, man. They're estimating like 5 million, 6 million, 7 million people sick today, this morning. Across America.
Wow. I believe it. It felt like everybody was getting it, getting all kind of different things over that kind of holiday break. And
you know, cultures are different though. So I go to Ohio to do a wedding over the weekend. Can I tell you something? If you wear a mask in Ohio, you are a visitor.
Yes.
There are no masks in Ohio. No restaurants, no office places, no places of worship, no weddings. There's no masks.
Yeah, different places do things a little differently.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing.
It's like living in 50 different worlds with the 50 different states that we've got.
Sure.
It's a wild thing. All right, guys, we're rolling here today. We've got a special guest coming in here in just a moment. Yep, Dr. Bill Thrasher is going to be with us. He wrote a phenomenal book, and it's been out for a long time. It's been a bestseller a long time. It's a phenomenal work, though, and we're going to get him in here. Got a lot going on today, and we just got a lot to celebrate. So, listen, why is weakness? We're talking about mountain moving prayers, and I don't mind doing that week over and over 4 times a year. If there's one thing we ought to talk about, it's prayer and mountain moving prayer. But why is weakness such a hot commodity in mountain moving prayer? Think about that. Why? Why?
Well, when you think about weakness, that's not something, especially in our culture, that we like to celebrate. We want to push forward and celebrate the things that we're really good at, our strengths.
Yeah.
We don't like to talk about weakness because it makes us feel vulnerable and fallen.
Yeah, it really does. And in the first hour, I was citing things like, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So we don't like to celebrate that. But why in the world, or let me be real, real, why in that cat hair do we have to be weak to have powerful prayers that move mountains? Why?
Because
I love this question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, having pride and having, you know, the I can do it all mentality. Well, one, there's no real reason to go to prayer if you're thinking like that.
Yeah.
And so how can you move mountains with your prayer if you're not praying? And then, you know, I think prayer is a sense of relying on God, and we need to be weak in order to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. I think it's absolute reliance on God, and we got to be weak in order to do that. The question is, can you ever grow to the point where you don't have to be absolutely wrung out, hands slumped at your side going, I'm weak? I'm weak.
Well, I hope so.
It's a fascinating thing.
I really
thing.
Hope so.
I'm going to kick that around with Dr. Thrasher coming up here in just a moment. It's Newsboys Guide. You hold it all. By the way, we got a new URL for all of our books around here.
I just saw that.
Moody.
Breaking news.
Books. Moodybooks.org. That's where you go from now on. Here we go, people.
Learning to move mountains with prayer. You're listening to Curl and Crew Mornings.
Special guest Dr. Bill Thrasher coming up here in about a half an hour, and we're going to be tackling a really hot topic, and that is the power of weakness in prayer. Everything that we are programmed to think is that the strong win the day, the strong win the Super Bowl, the strong win, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. So God's economy is totally different.
Yeah, and I mean, can you think of a time, Carl, where you felt utterly weak, powerless, helpless, and there was a richness to your prayer that was unmatched?
Every time that happens, that's the case. I was praying with an elder before a wedding yesterday for a couple in our church, and I felt like I was praying cold frost over the hotel room.
Why?
I didn't know.
Okay.
And then I just cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't want to just pray cold frost here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about the emptying of oneself through the process of a recognized weakness that there's no shortcuts for, guys. Weakness is celebrated over and over again in Scripture. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, Romans 8:26. For we do not know how to pray. This is the most germane verse that there is about weakness in prayer. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Celebrating weakness.
So we threw out this question. When we say weak, do we mean weak or do we mean dependence on God? Do we mean kind of not at our best? There's a lot of ways you kind of want to reframe this. Does weak mean weak?
Well, weak means weak in the word. So when you look at Romans 8:26, I mean, I could whip this bad boy up here and look at the original Greek word. But when you look at weakness in the word, I mean, it definitely means weakness. I would say I'm a trichotomist, so I'd say body, soul, and spirit.
What do you mean by trichotomist?
Well, as opposed to dichotomous, soul and body. Body, soul, and spirit just simply means that all aspects of who we are in our totality, broken and yielded before the Lord. I really believe that. Do you have to be totally weak physically to pray well? No. Do you have to be weak spiritually and emotionally to pray well? Yeah. Weak, but see, here's the problem. Weak is not a deficit in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem is we measure it through Americanism.
Yes.
And in Americanism, man, weakness is not good.
Right.
In fact, I was raised in an era when weakness wasn't, well, it was starting to, all the guys that I was raised with in Alaska, let me just tell you right now, Alaska was not a good place to grow up for a boy that felt weak.
Hmm.
Just wasn't a good place.
Because of the pressure to what, kind of be a like a man's man? And
hunt, shoot, chop, stack wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the common statement was, and I loved it, was if you got a cut on your knee, you know, rub a little dirt in it and keep moving.
Mm.
I mean, I rubbed dirt in wounds because that's what I thought actually worked.
Mm. Yeah, because you'd heard that statement.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes.
You heard it. I'm a little kid. I'm rubbing dirt in all my scrapes.
I've got.
And then in my mind, I thought I felt better.
My mom brain is about to explode. Neosporin, please.
No, Neosporin. Let me just tell you something. When the soft guys showed up in town, that's what they brought with them.
Sporn in a Band-Aid. Who needs that when you got dirt?
Here's some tissue for your tears, young man. No, it's just, so I'm doing that to be hyperbolic, but the truth, I mean, there was a lot of that in Alaska. Very interesting that if you talk about healing for a person's soul and how they're going to get healed, in Alaska, quick divergence here, but I think it's germane to the topic. The amount of sexual abuse in the villages of Alaska is a rate right at 85%. Basically, you don't escape a village in Alaska without being sexually abused.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for someone who's not familiar with Alaska, what do you mean by village? Like just like a city, the major cities, or
no, not the major
explain
cities.
What
actually,
you mean.
The village. That's right, because we got villages here that are big, big towns, right?
Right.
When I'm talking village in Alaska, I'm talking about what is more commonly known as a historical village, a small gathering of people, generally isolated from other parts, and pretty alone.
Okay.
So a town in Alaska, a village in Alaska would be anywhere from 200 people to maybe 3,000-4,000 max.
Okay.
Yeah. So the amount of sexual abuse in those villages is off the chain. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. We destroyed the villages of Alaska when we brought modern tea and alcohol. Destroyed them. Mm. Absolutely destroyed them. We ripped their soul out and spit on it and threw it on the ground. The gospel came and it began to heal. So all the fur trade and everything that happened that brought hooch into those villages, deadly. Just crushed them. When the gospel came, it began to help them. The Moravians brought the gospel on the Yukon River first. Isn't that interesting? Mm. And so the Moravians did some canoeing and paddling in boats up and down the river and penetrating the gospel. And the gospel started to set captives free. But the way that I've seen men and women come to grips with the, frankly, I know this is a tough topic here, sexual abuse that are in those villages is the embracing their absolute weakness. And I've seen the greatest Native Alaskan leaders, men's men, do what's called a heart ceremony, where they'll put, you're sitting in a circle, and they'll take this little wooden heart that's painted red, and they'll put it on your knee. And what that means is that's an invitation for you to share your heart with them, and that they're here to listen.
Wow.
It's really a cool, I mean, when I was sitting in a circle, and I had a friend put a heart on my knee, and he looked at me, his name's Toby, and he says, "Brother Carl, I want you to share with me any pain in your life." It was a holy moment.
Wow.
And that was a holy moment. But weakness is, some people might say weakness is how you get in trouble. In God's economy, weakness is how you get out of trouble. Mm. I'm going to write that down. isn't that weird?
Yeah. So the little heart ceremony, what made you think about that?
Because when you think about the path to liberty for my Native Alaskan friends that have suffered so horrendously is actually weakness, not sucked up strength.
Hmm.
It's actually vulnerability and weakness and bowing low before the Lord and others and saying, "I need help."
No, the "and others," that is almost harder.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather confess to God than anyone flesh and blood all day long.
So is weakness before others a necessity? When it comes to mountain moving prayers?
No, but it depends on the prayer that we're praying.
Mm.
The prayer offered in faith that we see in James 5, the prayer offered in faith by Elijah, a man like us, James says, meaning that he was fallen, wasn't perfected.
Right.
It avails much is the promise. So you got people in James 5 that are struggling with sin. In weakness, they bring it before not only God, but man. And I had a friend tell me this one time about prayer and confession. He said this, and this is really profound. He said, if you can quickly deal with an issue in your life between you and God, do it. But if it persists, go immediately to people.
Huh.
And I think he's right on.
So if you can quickly deal with an issue between you and God.
And this is particularly with regard to sin in your life.
Okay.
And you want to see it eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you can humbly, and let's use this word, in weakness come before God and find that thing lifted from you and resolved, great. But if you need to bring in others, don't delay. Get them in.
Wow.
So this is a phenomenal discussion. It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
All right. Coming up here in a minute and a half, we're going to talk about this. I want to give you this central passage of scripture about praying with weakness because it is really cool. Hang on.
Talking about Jesus and having fun while doing it. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Big announcement for you, Boom Crew. Carl is going to be a guest on Equipped with Chris Brooks today at 12 noon and then again on Janet Parshall at 5 p.m. So this is a heavy-duty day for you.
You're a lot of yakking.
Talking in the morning, talking in the noon, and talking in the night.
Isn't there a song that went like that?
Something like that. So be listening. He's going to be talking about his book, Seven Resolutions, on those programs. If you have not taken this assessment, not checked out the book, we got a keyword for you. Just text the word seven to 312-274-9624. I'm going to be listening today, Carl. I'm going to go from being on to a listener.
Well, that's kind of scary.
Do you feel pressure?
I feel weak. Which is...
It's not such a bad thing.
So according to Romans 8:26, I want you to write this one down, Boom Crew. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Isn't that fascinating? Mm. The statement is we don't even know how to pray.
Yeah.
But weakness is the best place to pray from.
And I know you, if you've been through real, real hardship, there is a place that you get to where groaning's too deep for words, you get that.
Oh, yeah.
You get that in a deep way.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
What a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit gives us still the ability to articulate because he's advocating for us.
Yeah, it really is. It really is cool. You know, I got to tell you something. I know this sounds weird, but my wife had a question about her cancer the other day. And it's coming up here in a little bit. I'm gonna mention something that might be a real help to you because some of you wonder, God, why do you heal some people and not others?
Mm,
you know, why do you do that? And it makes you kind of weak to even consider it. Hope is on the way here.
Learning to move mountains with prayer. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Dr. Bill Thrasher with us right now, by the way. Let me give a proper introduction. He oversees master's program in spiritual formation and discipleship. He's the author of the book, A Journey to Victorious Praying. Phenomenal book, guys. Amazing. Finding discipline and delight in your prayer life. And he's a prayer, and he's a phenomenal preacher, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you, and I praise God with you for his work in your household there and your dear wife.
Yeah, isn't that sweet? My brother, Bill, we look at the American ethos is one of we got to be strong, we got to be overcomers, we got to bootstrap it. But you look at the Word of God, especially Romans 8:26, fascinating passage here. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit doesn't help us in our strength. The Spirit doesn't help us in our Bible knowledge.
Yeah.
The Spirit doesn't help us in our being a doctor of theology.
Amen.
The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Why does God only seem to work through weakness, and why is that a good thing?
Well, I remember one year that I asked God, God, would you show me? I said, Lord, I'm not a prayer warrior yet, but I'm believing you one day I'll be strong enough, disciplined enough, whatever else enough. And really, the greatest thing God did for me that year was really just erase that lie in my mind. See, if I was ever godly enough, strong enough, disciplined enough, I wouldn't need prayer. That thought is the very antithesis
You're
of prayer.
Right about that.
And the Norwegian writer O. Hallesby says, prayer is helplessness plus faith. And I remember writing down in my journal that week, don't ever be distressed because of your helplessness. It's the power of your prayer life. Whatever there is that makes you feel that, I know it doesn't emotionally feel great, but that is the power of your prayer. That's the greatest thing you have going for you. So whatever, and there'll always be something in every stage of life, and that is the power of your prayer life. You know, the God did not, and I think there in regard to him helping you with your weakness, he describes that in the next phrase. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Yes.
I think the worst thing we can do is pretend we do know how to pray. And, you know, we around the Christian church enough, we got a prayer, we'll lay on you for any occasion. But sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. I think when the Apostle Paul was praying, Lord, deliver me from the thorn in the flesh. I think he really meant that. But see, sometimes there is a deeper desire beneath that desire we're expressing to God. There was nothing wrong in Paul's life there. But God says, you know, I'm not going to give you that desire because I want to give you a deeper desire. And that's what the Holy Spirit, sometimes we aren't in touch with that. He says, I want you to know the more grace and power, to be the most fruitful Christian you could be. That was his desire. And so he rested in that. Okay, I'll give this up for you to give me this greater desire. We're not always smart enough to do that, but God brings us to that weakness or whatever, and if we're just willing, open to God, sometimes, God, you want to give me more than I even know how to ask for. Mm.
So how do we keep this, Dr. Thrasher, from becoming just a kind of a laundry list of things that I need from God? Because when I think of weakness, I think about areas where I'm lacking, needs that I have. And so I could go on and on and on and fill my whole
sure.
prayer time with, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I'm weak, I'm weak. How do we walk that line of not just relating to God in a way of saying, give me, give me, give me?
Well, I would never make a person feel guilty. Most of the prayers of petition are, most of the prayers of Scripture are petition prayers.
Okay.
Certainly it is mixed with thanksgiving and certainly that need, the greater gift that we need is I need that relationship with God. That's mm-hmm. why he gives me these needs. So that is better. I always need to desire him more than any answer to my prayer. I also need to be willing to wait, you know, because sometimes for his timing. But certainly if that's expressing of need, but also mixing it with thanksgiving, that God doesn't want this need to be an anxiety. He tells me to cast that upon him, to make myself, you do need to make yourself, your needs known to God. So there's nothing wrong with that. Don't want to make a person feel guilty of that. But certainly mixing it with thanksgiving, mixing it with praise, or else you sort of become wrapped up in the need or the problem rather than in God. So let it bring you to God. Sometimes we need other people, quite frankly, praying with us, helping us cast that care upon God and giving us perspective when we tend to. I also found, you know, what I've shared countless times, and you're really helping people in your program. I mean, really break through from things. My heart just leaps for joy with the spiritual drive that comes from this program. From the very first time I was there, I just almost wept when I went into the studio. I said, there is spiritual drive coming from this program. You know, one of the things that, you know, the idea of helping people also in our need is, you know, that principle that I've shared with thousands of people, and I'll continue to as long as I live because it helps me every day, and I need it every day. I woke up this morning needing it. When you are tempted to turn those temptations into intercession for others, and, you know, with these people making significant breakthroughs in their life, you know, when they are tempted, you will be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Even in these areas that they're making these, they're reclaiming this ground and making breakthroughs. If they can pray for the others that are also, that is so helpful. You can get sometimes wrapped up in your sin trying to resist it. But if you can use it as a spiritual motivation to pray for others, I pray this year, 2022, will be a glorious year for many of your listeners as they're making these breakthroughs there with Carl's new book. And I'm thrilled about that. And so that's a little bit of an answer, and you come back
great.
At me, you know, if I didn't answer your question.
You're doing
that's
great.
Fantastic.
Doing great, Dr. Bill. Coming up, minute and a half. This has been our heart here on this show, and so you alluded to it, and we're going to take a little tangential step from weakness. You already answered that so well, but what kind of prayers bring awakening? I know the Haystack Revivals. I know all that. Mm-hmm. We got a handle on youth has historically been a feature here. But more than age demographic, what's the heart demographic that's going to see awakening? Dr. Bill Thrasher going to answer that question coming up.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
Dr. Bill Thrasher with us here, author of A Journey to Victorious Praying. By the way, we've got a new URL, moodybooks.org. Moodybooks.org. If you wanted to, that's a quick way to go get a moodybooks.org. That other one, whoop, that's out. That's old news. Moodybooks.org. And you can go grab a book called A Journey to Victorious Praying. Phenomenal work. Dr. Bill Thrasher, let's get after it here, my man. We want to see an awakening. We're so heartily post-Christian now. We're so heartily shaking a fist at God as a country. And I don't even think people know that they're shaking a fist at God. We're just living in our own strength, our own power with no moral compass.
Right.
We want to see an awakening. Angry evangelicalism won't do anything for that. Prayer will.
Oh.
What's the posture of prayer that's going to usher in an awakening?
Well, you know, you know, God says he'll send the Spirit and he will convict the world
yes.
of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I remember talking to God one day and say, God, you know, I'm not sure you're doing a very good job. It seems like people aren't blushing what they ought to be blushing about. Yeah. And I remember a wise, godly man, he was in his early 90s, called by some as the grandfather of the prayer movement in our country, Armin Guessman. He said this, well, who was that first sent to? Wasn't it given to the church? You see, it's as the church responds to the Spirit of God. That's what unleashes the convicting power of God. So I would say to my life, your life, all of our listeners, you know, you can believe God today for personal revival in your life.
Yes.
Now, I wish I could snap my fingers and make that happen on a worldwide scale like it has happened in times. But, you know, you can believe God today, and that's the beginning of the other. That is, okay, God, I want to know that I'm in agreement with you. When you and God are in agreement, you can be joyful. Jesus was the most joyful person who ever lived, even though the man of sorrows. He has anointed me with the oil of gladness above all your fellows because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. So respond to the Spirit of God. Now, maybe in some sense, I love that prayer of Ephesians 1. Maybe you need hope. I love that prayer that you would know the hope of your calling, to deliver from that devilish despair in any area of your life. I can understand how a person can despair of all of life. I don't think that's beyond me. But in an area of your life, God wants to put hope today in your life. That's the will of God.
Awesome.
Also in that prayer, he prays that you would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. How rich and how glorious it is, not only that you have an inheritance, but you are an inheritance. You're his treasured one. Never underestimate how cruel the devil is. I remember one breakthrough in this precious lady's life. She says when a discerning man of God came up to her and says, I want you to know one thing, you're not just a piece of dirt. She said all of her life she had seen herself no more valuable than a piece of dirt. God wants to, any of those lies in your mind, God wants to replace them. I know everything is due to the grace of God in my life, but God wants me to humble myself, like all of us, and just let him to be gracious to you. You're rich and you're glorious, that God's people could rise up in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And he wants you to know the power that, in regard to that Ephesians 1 prayer, he wants you to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And so even the power that can give victory out of apparent defeat, we're seeing great defeats, but God wants to, out of that apparent defeat, to see great victory. I pray the light would shine bright in this dark, dark day in which we're living.
I believe it. Father, we just agree together right now in the name of Jesus. We just bring, first and foremost, our lives before you.
Right.
Breathe life and light into the
dead
places in our soul. God, we just confess to you that we harbor junk at times that we ought not be harboring. We've given we've given measure to Satan's temptation when we ought not give anything. Lord, oh Father, have mercy on us. And Lord, we do ask, deliver us in our time of need. And allow us to tap fully your grace and power that has been lavished on us. Lord, don't let us squander the gifts of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Real specific question that we're asking you this morning.
We're asking you, can you think of time where you were in complete and utter weakness and cried out to God and saw him move? We're celebrating those prayers from a place of utter weakness.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Young Thunder, you got one, man? I'm hitting you cold here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that little moments of recognizing, I'll use this as an example. I want to love my wife better, be a better husband for her. There have been moments where I have just said, you know what, I can do this and I muscle it through in my own strength. And I've, you know, failed after the first day of resolve there. But then there are moments where I recognize I can't do that on my own. And I ask God and pray, God, you know, can you help me with this? Because this is something that I can't do in my own resolve. And I do see myself becoming a better husband for my wife, not because of anything that I can take credit for, but only because God's the one sustaining me through it.
It's an awesome word, man. Arlene in Compton Hills, what do you say? Did you find an area of weakness, real weakness, that caused you to pray?
Oh, yes, Carl. I was on my knees earlier this year in the spring of 2021, just at a very dark place. with extreme fear and anxiety. And I felt like I had nothing left to give, you know, just no energy, no physical energy or spiritual energy or, you know, emotional energy, just everything I had was spent, and I had nothing left to give. And I knew that I needed to pray, but it was more of an obedience than it was a desire. And so
we get that, like, by the way, Arlene, we get that.
Yeah. And, you know, and then all of a sudden the Lord started waking me up at 4 a.m. I say the Lord did it because I didn't recognize it was him at first. I was just waking up at 4 a.m. and I saw a pattern in that. And I would at first roll over and go back to sleep and, you know, and just not want to get up. But then I felt like God was stirring in me, you know, and I felt like he was calling me to get my feet to hit the floor and get up and spend time with him. And I was never one of those people that would get up and spend time with him in the morning. I would always push it off till the end of the day and hit, and he would get whatever was left, which most of the time wasn't much, you know? And so for probably the last 6 months, I've been consistently waking up at 4. God is still calling on my heart to get up at 4, get up and spend time with him in prayer and devotion and worship music, and it starts my day out. It's just a better place.
Yeah.
And he just met me in my weakness and he provided the strength, the undergirding, the support that I needed. It's all from him.
Arlene, that is so beautiful, sister. That's exactly what we're talking about, Arlene from Compton Hills. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. Boom. Because that is spot on. Now, there's a testimony of someone right there. And by the way, I love this. Started getting up at 4 o'clock. Didn't know it was God getting me up.
Mm-hmm.
God's patient with us.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at us. He knows you're a knucklehead. He knows you are. But he loves you, knucklehead. And he's willing to come up with ways to get your attention.
Yeah.
He knows I'm a knucklehead. He knows Allie's a knucklehead.
No denying it.
Yeah. But God, he delights in meeting us in our weakness. If you feel weak this morning, I'm telling you right now, you are strategically positioned to meet with God.
You know, when I first heard you say that, because I've heard you now say that for a couple of years.
What do you think? I was just flapping my gums.
No, it was, I had not heard it that way before, because the way you described it to me is that sometimes people, as a pastor, people may come up to you after a service and go, you know, Pastor Carl, I'm so broken. My life is such a mess. I'm hopeless. And they'll go on and on about how terrible things are. And you said you would kind of respond with a smile and go, you know what? You are strategically positioned to see God move.
I believe that.
And I thought, wow. I mean, that's probably not what they were expecting you to say.
No.
But
and I'm not sure that they loved it initially.
But when you really embrace that, when I feel like I'm at my weakest, my lowest, my most helpless, that's when I'm actually best positioned to cry out to God in utter dependence and see him move.
So good. That's so good. Are you at a point of weakness where it's like, I don't know. Maybe you're like Arlene. It's like, I'm just desperate. I'll tell you what. I maybe look left, look right. Maybe just turn over your shoulder. There is a big, huge, smiling God in close proximity to you right now. I'm not kidding you. And he is so much bigger than what you're up against. It's almost hard to get your brain around. Brad, you're in Arkansas. What's going on there, Cat Daddy?
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys this morning.
What's going on? You're in Arkansas. Where are you at in Arkansas?
Harrison, Arkansas, just south of Branson, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Good spot, man. All right, give it to us. What's your story?
You know, I'll try to make this quick here. I was serving as missionary, still am, but I was in a Native American community on a reservation, and I had this young lady who we had been friends for a lot of years in college, and we dated, and then I thought she was the one. God called us. God called us different directions at a time in my life where I was really thinking I needed that person, that I was pretty upset with God, just saying, Lord, how can you leave me weak like this and lonely, and I need that help, mate. And I have to tell you that through just spending a lot of time with him, a lot of time in the Word, and a lot of time in prayer, God brought me to a place that never thought I'd get to, where I was able to say, Lord, I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm actually okay if I'm single the rest of my life, Lord.
Wow.
I found everything I needed in him, and it was an amazing 3-year stretch where he just grew me. And long story short, that love of my life, that same young lady, I've been married to her for almost 19 years.
Oh.
And God brought it full circle, 3 amazing children who love the Lord. And so it was shit, but what he taught me through this time of loneliness and just feeling really weak was that he is all I needed.
That's
and
cool.
Man, I praise God for that.
Man, that's great.
It's
are
amazing.
are you still working on in missions on reservations?
I am. I'm based at our headquarters now in Northwest Arkansas with Ron Hutchcraft Ministries.
Yeah.
But I still, that's what I do all day, every day, is I work and spend my time investing in Native American young people.
Yeah, and that's, I alluded to this morning. You might not have been listening. It was way earlier. But in the Native Alaskan community, for which I'm very familiar, Brad, the amount of sexual abuse is about 85% in the average village. And the inescapability of sexual abuse and all the pain and the brokenness and the ravaging of souls that goes with it is huge. And Brad, we did it to those villages. We brought alcohol in there years and years ago. And then the Moravians came in to Alaska. Isn't this cool, guys, that the Moravians came in with the gospel on the Yukon River and began to penetrate throughout the Yukon Delta. The gospel came in and cleaned up the mess that now alcohol had exacerbated, and that was the lostness of those villages that had never known God.
Wow.
But, Brad, I know that rings true with you, buddy, because it's a battle. But could I pray for you and your ministry right now?
Carl, I would absolutely love that. We actually are in the process of building a Beyond Eagle's Wings Leadership Center at our headquarters, where we're going to be able to do kind of a gap year program for some of these amazing warriors who have overcome so much. And it's funny, I was sitting talking with my dad last night. My dad is Ron, and we were talking last night even about the impact the Moravians had in early Native missions. So that's kind of funny you bring that up.
That's wild. And I didn't know Ron was your dad, Brad. When the cat here, you can't keep that stuff silent there. All right. So here we go, man. Let me just offer this up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the work that Ron and Brad and so many others are doing. To you be glory, God. Father, would you bring revival to these villages, into these reservations around the United States? Oh God, come in power. Set the captives free. Heal up wounded hearts. Heal them. You're the wounded heart healer, Lord. Help us to be ambassadors of that grace and power in amazing ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And praising God for the wonderful answers to prayer for your wife, Carl. It was great to read that this morning.
That's cool, Brad. Thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate it. All the way from Northwest Arkansas. Okay, coming up in a minute and a half. And you're the Boom Crew. Let's double pack. Let's get another one right now.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go to Lois calling in this morning from Elgin. Lois, tell us about that prayer that came from a place of real weakness.
Well, back in June, I had to move out of my house, and it ended up that I didn't have any help. I had to pack and move everything by myself, and for the 3 days, I only had like 8 hours of sleep, and I'm 63 years old. You know, I'm not really in the best physical condition to be doing that physical work, but the Lord came through. I prayed that, God, I can't do this in my own strength. And he came through in a mighty way. And the first night I only had 4 hours of sleep, the next two nights, only 2 hours. And I worked from like 6 a.m. till 4 a.m.
God gave it to
all
you.
All around, you know,
yeah.
Packing and loading. And I look back and think, I don't know how in the world I did that, but it was with God's help because, you know, I'm not physically strong like that. to be up all those hours working continuously. But it's, I give all the glory to God.
Excellent. Lois, that is rich, sister. Think about that.
Wow.
Here's a woman that doesn't have the physical capability to do something. Talk about weakness. And pours her heart out to God. And come on, guys. I am not a champion of sleep deprivation, nor is Lois. But sometimes God does some amazing, extraordinary things. And there's a great example. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. If you're new here, you're called the Boom Crew because you tune in and you give us things like Brad and Lois just gave us.
Amazing.
Boom, boom, boom. That's the triple boom. I've given away one quad boom in 7 years.
Only one?
Maybe two. I think I gave away two quad booms. But triple booms off the chart. And Lois and Brad, they get triple booms.
Triple booms all the way.
Man.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Hey, Boom Crew, a couple of big announcements for you. Have you taken the assessment yet? What assessment, you're saying? The Seven Resolutions, Carl's book came out last week, where self-help ends and God's power begins. The assessment is a great place to start to really help you identify, asking some key questions. Where in my life do I need to focus effort? Where am I most relying on myself and least reliant on God? Go, just text the word seven and you'll get the website. You can take the assessment. It's totally free. Text the word 7 to 312-274-9624. And then if you want a little bit more in-depth, kind of the behind the covers sort of look at the book and the what prompted Carl to write it, he's actually going to be on two different Moody Radio programs, national programs today, Equipped with Chris Brooks, which is on at noon right here on 90.1 FM Moody Radio, and In the Market with Janet Parshall this evening at 5 p.m.
That's happening, man.
It's going to be a long day for you.
I'm overjoyed.
But a great day.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. Really. In fact, if you'd be praying for those shows today, Boom Crew, that'd be great. I'd really appreciate it. High noon and 5 Central. And it's going to be super. You know what? Let's do this right now. Jody, come on in here. Jody from Melrose Park. You were really weak. What happened? And God showed up.
Well, this is kind of a little bit of a twofold story, so I'll kind of make it really, really short. But I was on your program once when you talked about when angels showed up, and I kind of just gave a really lame story because I was nervous, but it ties in with what happened. I feel it was an angel showed up, he told me everything was going to be okay. Well, 2 years ago, I lost my grandson, and it was the hardest thing in my life to endure. And I honestly, I did not want to live anymore. And so I did not do anything to physically harm myself, but I did neglect to do things that probably could have been very harmful for me. But I, the Lord, I guess he had other plans, and he brought me to it's actually a Christ-centered grief support group, and now I facilitate a grief support group help others.
Wow.
And the first thing that came to my mind when I lost my grandson was that encounter, and that was 40 years ago, that man showing up in Denny's telling me everything's going to be okay. Life was not easy, but nothing could have prepared me for what happened. I don't think this is something that you ever get over. You just live through it. However, I feel that's okay, because that's how the Lord is going to use to keep me closer to him.
Yeah, here's what's happened, Jody, is that God has allowed you to, through that weakness, he's visited you in some power. Mm. And that's the point. In our weakness, he is strong. And weakness is to be celebrated in the scriptures over and over again. I am sorry for your loss, Jody, but you've proven again, Boom Crew, why and how relevant God's word really is. You show it over and over again.
Over and over again.
Amy in West Dundee, give it to us, sister. You were absolutely weak and God did something. What is it?
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago, and I just suddenly was going through really dark depression and anxiety and fear. And I'd never experienced anything like it before. And one day I was somehow able to get my kids to school. And then I got home and I laid on the couch and I couldn't get up. And I was crying to God, just asking for something, some light. And he brought a person to mind, which now I think about it and it makes sense. But at the time I was like, what? And so I sent that person a text and it simply said, can you come? And she came within an hour. And for the next week, at least, my house was flooded with the hands of God.
Yeah.
Just people loving and praying, bringing food, folding my laundry, and just sharing their hearts with me. And I still sometimes feel that weakness, but it's not a burden anymore. I know that God is calling me to himself in those moments and saying, I am your strength, and it's okay to struggle.
Yeah.
And but I think the biggest thing I learned was that God wants our cries. He wants our brokenness in our hearts. And,
That's awesome. Amy from West Dundee. Sister, you nailed it. He wants our cries. He wants our vulnerable heart. He wants that. That's what a healthy father does.
Yes. In that place of brokenness. And how awesome that other people were able to come around her.
Oh,
God,
man,
uses his people to minister.
Yeah, we got time for maybe one more. Here's the question.
God really met you in your place of weakness, utter brokenness, weakness, and you cried out to him and saw him move. 312-274-9624.
Benny and Kenosha, man, when did God meet you? I mean, you were on your face in weakness.
I was in like a 3 week, I encamped myself in my house and hadn't come out. And I was at that particular day of committing suicide. I've lost all hope. And the Lord just brought my life verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. And at that same moment, the local pastor of the church crawled through my second story window and came in and repeated that same verse to me and gave me the story that the Lord had just told the children of Israel. You were going to be in captivity for 70 years, but this is the attitude I want you to have during it. Save my life. Save my life.
Man, that's a powerful thing, Benny. And you're a walking, living, breathing testimony of God doing that. Mm-hmm. Benny is one of the coolest boom crewers going.
Amen.
If you're new to the boom crew, you need to know something. We call you the boom crew because when we get testimonies like this and the others that we've had today, it's just like, boom, yes, amen, we agree. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.